The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back, and this is special. My partner Lance Zierlein is part of the industry, and there are not a lot of guys that can say they started an entire industry. And Mel Kiper did that 40-some-plus years ago. Guys like Daniel Jeremiah, Matt Miller, Dane Brugler, Mike Mayock, Todd McShay all have well-paying jobs in a lot of circumstances because of this guy. He's the OG. He's the godfather of draft Knicks. He is Mel Kiper here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mel, welcome to the show. We appreciate you being here.
Oh, great to be with you guys. Love Houston. Love everything about what we're doing this time of year, obviously. And Lance knows all about that. Lance has done an unbelievable job as dad in the NFL. So I'll tell you, to see what he's been able to do, it's just phenomenal to see how popular I think this draft process is. When back when I started, they didn't even want ESPN to televise it. And they said, hey, they told me, well, go get a real job. Nobody cares about this stuff. You're wasting your time. So it's great to see how far the draft has come.
I want to follow up on that. How'd you get, Mel, what was, how, I know this story has been told before, but let's tell people, how did you start that? How did you get connected with ESPN?
Well, it was I had already accepted a position with Ernie Accorsi and the Baltimore Colts back in 1983 after I put out the reports in 78, 79. Got to know Ernie very well when I was just a young kid at Colt camp and gave him the reports. We always kept up, talked all the time, and I always went out to camp every summer and spent a lot of time with Ernie. So Ernie offered me that position. He said, he said, just go through the draft that year. I'll introduce you as a Colt employee, and then maybe July, August, right before the season starts. And then, of course, they traded John Elway without his knowledge. He called me and said, hey, I don't know how long I'll be here. The team may be moving. I can't bring you in to help me in the personnel department when that's the case. So what do you want me to do? And he said, just keep doing what you're doing. You got a good thing going. Well, 5 months later, I got a call from ESPN to go up and interview and got that position for the 84 draft and that season. So if I would have taken that job, Ernie wouldn't have cared about a 23-year-old kid and just said, come on in, see what happens. I would have been with the Colts and I would have been let go by the Colts. I would have never gotten the position with ESPN. Who knows what I would have been doing throughout my career.
Who was the guy who had the foresight to bring in a quote-unquote analyst, a quote-unquote scout, an evaluator, into the role when it was such a – it was not the thing that it is today? Who had the foresight to do that?
Bill Fitz did. It was Bill Fitz, was the producer of the draft that year. And I remember going up to ESPN and I sat there in the middle of a room. They put a chair in the middle of a room and they had like seven or eight people circling around this chair and saying, okay, tell me about the 49er offensive line. Tell me about the Steelers front office. And I did. And then that players in the draft, they were just peppering me with questions about the NFL, about positional groups, coaching, players obviously for the draft. And I just, for about an hour, hour and a half, I answered those questions. Got on a flight, went to Bradley International, flew back the hour flight to Baltimore to BWI, and didn't have a clue. And 2 weeks later, got a call that I was going to be doing Sports Center and doing all the things leading up to the draft. Wow. And certainly draft day that year with Chris Berman and Bob Lee up in Connecticut. They were the first two people I met at ESPN. I walked into that one little building in Bristol, and Chris Berman, Boomer, and Bob Lee greeted me. We went up, we did the draft, and did a lot of Sports Center stuff that year, and that was when I was 23 at the time, and the rest is history.
Wow, what a story. And you created an industry. Unbelievable what you've done. Mel Kiper with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And Lance told a story earlier, Mel, about how nice you were. I mean, you can't be a nicer guy. A young guy like Lance that had no name, and yet you spent time with him. That's got to be rewarding, seeing all these guys that have come up and that you've helped along the way, too.
Well, I try to always encourage everybody along the way. Lance, obviously, with the football knowledge that he's had his whole life, has been football. And Todd McShay, great kid, was a Richmond quarterback. And you see Daniel Jeremiah. These are all good. Mike Mayock, good friend of mine. All these people, I worked with Mike at ESPN before he became a draft analyst at NFL Network. So all these guys were good friends. The more people that are going to have opinions, the better off everybody is. And I always wanted at ESPN to have somebody to debate me and because I always came across, oh, that's the final. I never want to be the final word. I've always been obviously serious about my business and never took it as any joke or tried to be light about it. Tried to be serious about it and focused about it. And then to have Todd come along and everybody else come along, and Lance is doing an unbelievable job in all these years. He's coaching right now. So all these guys, look at Mike Mayock, goes into the NFL. Todd could be in the NFL. So it's just great to see these guys do what they're doing, and the expansion of this whole draft the way it is now, and the coverage and the amount of people that watch, the amount of people on the internet that are doing mock draft every day. There's ratings every day. The amount of interest in the draft has gone through the roof. And like I said, I've been wrong with a lot of player evaluations. The one thing I've been right on is I thought the draft would be something that would be incredibly popular because it ties college football to the NFL. It's a couple days in April when you're not even seeing the NFL for a while. If you watch college football and you watch the NFL, why in the heck wouldn't you care about this? And back in those days, nobody saw any of these guys, so they needed reports. So I figured, okay, if you're not seeing the guys your team's drafting, why not have this information available? So I had that vision. That was the one thing in my life I was correct about. The draft would be popular, but to think it would ever get to this point, guys, no, I can't say I ever thought it would be as popular right now as it is. I thought it would be popular, but not to this extreme.
Yeah, we call it a draft season, and it's expanded. It's gone from April into March, then into the Combine, and then now Senior Bowl, and really it's even before then, and it's in the TV ratings, the digital numbers.
It's the whole party, the weekend.
First year I wrote up draft profiles, which was for the 15 draft. I started in 14, 15 draft for NFL.com. My editor told me, he showed me a thing that went out internally. My draft for the full 1 year, I had 15 million hits on my draft reports total. 9 million came inside of like a 3-day span or a 4-day span because there's such an international appeal for football too. And I mean, it's huge. It's huge in London. It's huge in Germany. Mel, let's get to this year's draft class. But because the draft is obviously a huge thing. I want to talk for a second about the Houston Texans obviously have the third pick and now they have the 13th pick. They're at the third pick. This entire time I've been thinking, okay, trade back. You can end up adding more draft capital. But the more I look at this and the more I start to project, I think the Texans are going to be sitting in a spot to either get their hands on Aiden Hutchinson, Evan Neal, Ike Ekwonu. I'm just to the point, Mel, now where I look at this draft class and I say, I don't think you may not want to get too cute with this. You may just want to sit down and take one of those players.
Yeah, it depends on what you. They already have 7 picks in the first 4 rounds. That's 7 of the top 108. So they're in good shape there. Obviously, they could take anybody. They pretty needs all over the place, as you know. So they could go any which way, whoever they deem the best player at that point. And if you're picking that high, you got to get one of the elite players in the draft. You can't get the 6th, 7th, 8th best player when you're picking that high. And at 13, they could do the same thing. Get a guy that's in your top 10 on your board. And they obviously you're gonna move those players around to suit whatever you want on your board, but the bottom line is they should get 2 elite players, and they should get a lot of good. There's a lot of good players in this draft that aren't going to go in the first round. It happens every year. There's depth at a couple positions, a wide receiver being one where I like a lot of guys at that position. Well, in the maybe the 25. I think I could go 25 deep at wide receiver and feel pretty good about it. So there's several positions like that. There's a couple weak positions, but now this is a draft with all the picks they have and the development of Davis Mills towards the end of the year, the way he progressed through the season. We'll see how year two is. But they should come out of this draft with some really good football players.
Good question from Clay. Ask Mel how he would rank Evan Neal compared to years past offensive tackles.
Yeah, he's a good. He's a guy with the left tackle, right tackle, guard starting experience. I like to see him play a little past the whistle at times. That thing that Trevor Penning does in Northern Iowa, maybe a little too much. That's what Ike Mukwano does, a lot. He's very entertaining to watch at NC State. But with Neil, very solid, very reliable player, and the experience that's a start at all three spots adds value, obviously. So he's right there. I think you look at a couple of their offensive linemen. I think Penning is the most intriguing because he's so aggressive. He's so tough. He's got all the talent, but he's so raw. And he doesn't bend. And he's going to have to be probably a right tackle initially. Will he evolve into a left tackle? We'll see. But he could be a pick for the Chargers at 17. But I think he's the guy we're going to have fun watching to see the progression of Trevor Penning. But to say for Evan Neal, I think Evan Neal for the Giants, who would need a right tackle, would be a pick. Obviously, Houston, there's plenty of opportunities for Evan Neal to go within that top five.
Yeah, no question. This is a year where I like some corners, but I'm having a harder time slotting them because there's issues. So Sauce Gardner is going to be the first cornerback off the board, I believe. I do think that Derek Stingley is a guy that if he could, the Liz Frank is going to hurt him, but he would have tested he would have just tested off the charts in a variety of in every potential drill imaginable and testing imaginable, which I think would have shot his profile back up. Let's talk about Stingley, because Stingley was unbelievable in 19, but 20 and 21 just isn't as good. He didn't play as much. He's had injuries. How do you project a guy whose best tape is 2019?
That's a great question. I was talking about it with a former NFL GM who's got a Super Bowl ring, and he said, I love Stingley, but you told me I had to go back to 2019 to get him at his best. And he said, I can't take a guy in the top 10. I got to go back to 2019 to see him play his best football. I said, well, there's circumstances. You had COVID year, then you had the injury. So there's reasons why that. And then, of course, the LSU in 2019 went 15-0, won a national title, and they lost a lot of his players. Everything changed dramatically. Coaching this year, situation, a lot of turmoil within that program. So I said, there's factors that contribute to that. But he said, hey, I can't take a guy top 10 that hadn't played since 2019 his best football. But he said, hey, I said, well, go back to 20. He went back and I talked to him the other day. He said, hey, 2019, I mean, he was awesome. The word awesome came out of his mouth. Instincts, ball skills. He was just 17 when he came to LSU, 18 that freshman year. He's only 20 right now. So this is a kid that pro day coming up will be critical. The medical on him will be critical, obviously. Sauce Gardner is clearly the cleanest corner in this draft with his length, his ball skills, and the way he locked down during his career. So Sauce Gardner is going to be the first corner taken. Could go in the top five. But I think Stingley, where he goes, I can't say right now, but some have him dropping. Mike Tannenbaum did a mock the other day. I had him 24 to Dallas. Some people have him 20, 16. If he gets down that far, if the medical is okay, then I got to believe he's going to be one of the steals. The toughest corner to evaluate, Lance, for me, is Andrew Booth, Jr. Yeah. Expected a lot. He's so talented. He hits so hard. I mean, he has no fear. I mean, he throws that body around. Screens will come up and just destroy you. His coverage, the lack of focus at times, the concentration lapses. I don't know what it was, but Andrew Booth Jr. is the toughest corner for me to put a grade on because I see the talent, but I also see the inconsistency. Somebody's going to take him in the first round, but he's one of those boomer bust types. It's hard for me to really to figure out and feel comfortable about what type of grade I give him.
Matt, I struggle with, I don't know why it is, but I struggle with Clemson cornerbacks every year, and I don't know why that is, but it's hard. A.J. Terrell, it's just harder for me to get a good read on some of these guys. I think the easiest one to, and I wouldn't mind this guy at 13, would be Trent McDuffie from Washington. Yep. I think what you see is what you get. I love him. He's the same kind of Washington cornerback every year. Twitchy, aggressive, on top of the routes. I wouldn't mind him at 13 for the Texans, although I think he may slide back a little further. You wish he was 6 feet, 6 foot one. And then Kyrie Elam, I think I know who he is. I think he'll get drafted early. I've heard, Mel, he's been amazing in interviews, just really highly intelligent, but struggles with long speed and matching up. But the Texans need a cornerback, Mel. And people ask me about cornerbacks. My concern is I don't love the second-round cornerbacks, and I worry that if you don't get one in the first round, that I don't know that you're getting an early-impact cornerback once you get outside of the first round of the first 40 picks.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Marcus Jones at Houston's going to be a nice player. His return skills will get him on the field right away. Zion McCollum, I thought at Sam Houston State, was a guy I watching this tape of him in three games was really impressive in those games. Lower level of competition, but really impressive. So I think he's the kind of guy could be a little bit, you know, of a bargain where you get him. But I'll tell you, Lance, I love the safety, Daxton Hill. And, here's the kid. I think you could make a strong argument that, Kyle Hamilton's certainly the best safety. He's the number two safety. But overall, DBs, he's right there with McDuffie. So if you go Hamilton or Sauce Gardner, that's two. Then you go Stingley, three. Then it's either McDuffie or Daxton Hill for me. I mean, Daxton Hill, slot corner he can be, the way he covers, the way he gets after the quarterback, the way he tackles. Obviously, Justice Hill's brother, five-star recruit, all that. Daxton Hill can do everything. He's so versatile. I love the kid. I think he should be in that mix to be a mid-first rounder. So he's the kind of guy nobody even talks about because he's a safety behind Hamilton, but he's more than that. Like I say, he's a slot corner, go to the Ohio State game, watch him there. I think not enough people have talked and mentioned Daxton Hill's name enough when we talk about those elite overall defensive backs that are kind of ideally suited for the way the game's played today.
He's versatile. Yeah. I mean, he's really versatile.
Mel, do you have Kyle Hamilton falling at all because of how he's running?
I don't. I mean, I think I could see him a little bit past the top group, but to get down, some people thought, I think Daniel had him going like 11 at one point, Daniel Jeremiah. I don't, but stranger things have happened when you run like he did, which is not as good as you would have thought. Of course, it came off the injury as well. But Kyle's, he's not the best safety I've ever seen. He's not the elite, the best of all time like some are making him out to be. But I think the range he has, the unique talent that he has for the position. Is he the best safety? No. But his unique talent, I think, will make a defensive coordinator or force a defensive coordinator look at him a lot higher than that. That's just my opinion, but I think he's the third or fourth best player in the draft. Some have him number one. I didn't see that. I still have Aiden Hutchinson number one, Ekwonu two. Sauce Gardner's got to be up there. I mean, there's no way you can't put a corner with the length, the ball skills, and the way he was, consistency on the field. They all went after Kobe Bryant. He was just spectacular. So I think Sauce Gardner has got to be up there in one of the top five, six best players in this draft.
All right, so you're uniquely positioned. I'd say I am here on the show every day, but I want to get your perspective on this. It's not going to happen, but a lot of Texans fans want the Texans to consider Malik Willis. I'll throw Kenny Pickett's name in there as well. Malik Willis, but let's throw Kenny Pickett. So they have three and they have 13. You know all about Davis Mills and what he was coming out and potentially what he was this year. What would, if you were the Texans, would you seriously be considering one of those two quarterbacks I mentioned at either 3 or 13, or would you roll with what you've seen from Davis Mills, what you thought his draft profile was and projection was coming into the league, and would you try to make the best of it and keep projecting him and filling in the pieces around him since it's a lot cheaper to go with the third round guy?
Yeah, it's a hard call. That's a difficult question to answer. Malik Willis, I just did a new ratings board. It's going to be up on Monday, Tuesday of this week. And I was trying to move him up. I got him to 16. I got Malik at 16, Kenny Pickett at 17. They've been back-to-back pretty much the whole way. I couldn't go any higher. I just, on a ratings board, that's just how if you're picking that high, you got to get a guy that's rated that high. You got to trust your ratings. Malik Willis is, I think, in 2-3 years is going to really start to develop, and he needs some time. And Kenny's going to be 24 coming up, and he's got all those starts. And I compared him to Derek Carr. If he's Derek Carr, you'd be pretty happy getting him, right? But that's the best scenario. Our comps are best case scenario. They always work out. The comps aren't always perfect here. We know that. They give you an idea. They're not exact. So to me, and you have a crystal ball. You know all that. Predict the future, but I think that's high. It's a little high for me. 13 would be okay. Not in the top five. Some have in the two to Detroit. I don't see that. I think it's difficult because next year you're going to have the elite. You're going to have Bryce Young from Alabama. You're going to have C.J. Stroud from Ohio State. So, you got to be sure that in a consensus within your building that Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett are going to be really, really good. And an improvement over Davis, who I thought made really good strides this year. I remember talking to David Shaw. I saw David at the draft. Lance, it was about, back when he was just young. Davis Mills was young. And he said, I said, what do you, Coach, what do you think? Because he had gotten so much hype coming out of high school. I said, what's your opinion? He looked at me and he said, no, he's going to be really, really good. He's going to be really good. And, of course, he had the injuries. He had that 1 year, the COVID year and all that. But the bottom line is, depending upon how the Texans feel about Davis Mills, how do you got to love these quarterbacks. You got to be thinking about next year as well. So that's a tough spot. To say 13, if they took a quarterback at 13, Malik or Kenny Pickett, I would have no problem with that. But Davis Mills deserves a lot of positive publicity for the job he did. I mean, I thought he was impressive the way he improved, the way he finished. You know, I thought there were some things that I really like and be excited about Davis Mills. But in this league, if you're in the AFC, you got to have a great quarterback. I mean, you just can't be good. You got to be great. You can't be average. You got to be great. Yeah. So the one that has a chance to be great of this group is Malik Willis from Liberty.
Did you like the haul the Texans got for Deshaun?
You know, I think it was the best scenario possible. I don't like the Cleveland thing. I, again, AFC, another great quarterback. If, you know, depending upon how everything off the field works out and the suspension and what goes on there. And you never know. You can't predict the future on that. That's still, you got to wait and see how that plays out. But I thought he was going to go to Carolina. I thought Tepper, the owner, was going to do everything possible to get Deshaun Watson. The NFC is a league that doesn't have all the elite quarterbacks the AFC does. You put him to Carolina, you know, with Tampa Bay. Brady can't play forever. New Orleans is trying to figure it out. Jameis off the injury. And then you have Atlanta with Matt Ryan. You knew that would be a situation fluid there. They trade him. Now they're rebuilding there. I thought it would be Atlanta. You know, it was going to look like that day it was going to be Atlanta, and then it ended up being the Cleveland Browns. So, you know, was I happy with what they got? Yeah, I think Houston's in a great spot now to add a lot of pieces and get some real foundation pieces in this draft that will allow them to be a team in that division, obviously, when you think about where they are right now. You know, Indianapolis has a veteran quarterback that they can win with. Jacksonville's got a potential star. And they just have to figure out, what's the ceiling? What's the ceiling for how good do we think after we've had him for a year? They know how he works. They know how the team feels. Does he galvanize those guys? Do they react to him? Does he excite the masses there? How does everybody in that building feel about Davis Mills is critical in this whole decision? Nobody knows that answer better than they do.
Absolutely. That's Mel Kiper, the godfather of the draft, of all these guys can owe it all to him. He's the Tiger Woods. I'm calling you the Tiger Woods of the draft, Mel, because you make all these guys money.
Way overrated. I've always been overrated in that regard, but I appreciate it, because I'm just glad everybody's enjoying this whole thing, have fun with it, and Lance has been a great friend and does an incredible job. So it's just great to see all this stuff happening and so positive, and hope the Texans come out of this draft with a lot of good players.
You know what's crazy is Mel, you're still in Maryland, aren't you?
Yeah, well, we moved down to Kent Island. We moved down to the Eastern Shore about 5 years ago. Lauren got married this past summer. So a lot has happened, Lance, since the play the draft days.
But you're not in Connecticut, right? You still do things your way. You still get to do things the way you like to do them. You get to live where you live and do your shows from remotely. I mean, it's still, you've got things working the way you need to get it, way you want to have it worked.
Exactly. I'm here we're here on the water, looking out at the bay, and it's beautiful, and the boating, and the crabbing, the fishing, everything going on here. So, yeah, I just love the scenario we're in. Everything about it couldn't be better. And like I said, Lauren's down here, and Alex are every weekend, so they're here. They're going to start a family soon. So it's just really a good scenario down here. We love it down here, and we're able with Glowpoint, as you said, to do everything remotely.
It's good to be Mel Kiper, especially this time of year, draft season. Hey, Mel, we appreciate it. Thanks for your time. Great stuff, as always. Congratulations on all your success, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Mel.
I appreciate it. Anytime you guys need me, give me a call, and a great job. You guys do a phenomenal job.
All right, there's Mel Kiper right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What good stuff.
That was not meant for you. You don't do a phenomenal job. You got John McClain caping for you. Mel was talking to me.
No, he was telling me. He said you guys. He said you guys.
You do a terrible job.
He said you too. He said you guys.
You know why? Because you gave him special loving when he came on the air.
I really did.
And on the end, the back end, I was like, I really did. Hey,
I got to get these
get
knee
in
pads
trouble
off.
For the, I feel some civil suits coming.
I brought my little towel, okay, with me. And
did you just meet Mel Kiper 30 minutes outside of the city of Houston at someone's mom's house?
Yeah,
Is that what happened?
I sure did.
With your Mel's little, with your
feel,
own towel?
Mel's got to feel good right now.
Okay? That was consensual.
Though. He's gonna.
That was consensual. Mel liked it. That was consensual.
He's probably smoking a cigarette right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right after that.
You were the Tiger Woods. He's like, well.
All right. I mean, I didn't say it. You said it.
Well, I mean, you said.
That's what you said.
It's like when people call us heroic.
No.
We're not saying it.
No, it's those people.
Do we do hero stuff? Yeah, I mean, like doing shows when it's very cold or whatever.
Yeah.
It rains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean. You want to call it heroic. We don't tend to do that, but
sometimes we do. It's 823 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And still ahead, Daniel Ewing is going to join us in about an hour right here. Don't you go anywhere. Hey, when we come back, Doc Rivers, a little shot. No. A little shot at James Harden. We'll give it to you on the other side.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
To Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Good stuff, Mel Kiper. Sorry about the long break there, but we had to combine breaks, and now we're back, and we will be back on schedule here as we kept Mel Kiper a little bit long, well, a lot longer than we should have, but that's okay because he's Mel Kiper. Good get there, Lance. Nice job. You guys are good buddies, but I think he likes me a little bit more now. He said both of you guys do an unbelievable job. He knows how hard I work after the show, getting ready for...
put in that time, man. You're a grinder.
I am a grinder. True story, David says, back in the late 80s, the Mockingdales were a small group of us who helped Mel break down players. It's where we got our Mockingdales name from. Ask him about us.
Don't read that crap.
That's Mel history.
Don't read his fake Mockingdale stuff.
Ask Mel what hair products he uses. Was he a Brill cream guy or not? No, I know we're not going to ask him that. Art always asks questions that we cannot ask our listeners. So that happens. So we did that. We haven't yet talked about NBA basketball. And last night in the NBA, holy crap, Giannis with another huge, huge game. I mean, this dude is, he's, and now all of the, I was watching the Suns and Golden State the other night. They put up a stat. The Suns had the best record in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Going away. Best
again,
record in the league.
Again.
And if you score 25 points or more on the best, on the team with the best record in the league, the odds are tremendous that you're going to be the MVP. And Devin Booker isn't even in the conversation.
No.
Not even in the conversation.
I've got a, you know, I had someone play a futures play on him for NBA. I was asked, who are the MVPs this year? I said, here are your preseason. Durant, Booker, Luka, and Embiid. Those are the four. And I think all of them, I mean, Durant, you know, obviously has had injuries, but Embiid is going to be there one or two. Luka had a run and then has fallen off, but I think Booker, I don't know why Booker hasn't gotten more attention.
He doesn't get any love. No love.
Booker
maybe
deserves,
because it's Phoenix, it's what, I don't
Booker
know.
Deserves more attention.
Yeah, he's not getting none, zero love. Because it's still, now Giannis has moved in. I mean, the national media has fallen in love. And how can you not fall in love? Against the Nets in a huge game in overtime, 44 points, 14 rebounds, and 6 assists. Holy crap. And a three, a huge three from a big guy. It's unbelievable. Okay, this guy is just, Giannis is, and he's coming on at the end. Giannis is probably going to win his third MVP. And I don't know, deservedly so or whatever. But, man, is he something special. He just is. And then the 76ers, who's fighting, they're fighting right there in the East,
mm-hmm.
right? New tooth and nail. Boy, now they got it. Well, they got an easy win. They're playing the Pistons last night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They got their ass handed to them. 102-94.
The Pistons and Pistons fans, I saw this response on Twitter. Pistons fans said, you know what? I'm okay with screwing up the tank job for this one. Just to beat Harden and Embiid is because Harden and Embiid started trending on Twitter. And I'll tell you what now. James's first three games were really, really good, and he's had another one that was good. But the James Harden love is really dissipating. He's already a guy that national media don't like. They didn't like him when he was with the and I think James isn't ultimately likable relative to other stars around the league. You don't hear about people's favorite player being James Harden. That never happens. You don't hear about other players loving James Harden or propping him up. And now James Harden is starting to show potential decline. We saw it last year with the injuries and soft tissue stuff. This year, I don't know if he was hurt, if he was out of shape. I feel like he's out of shape. But, John, if you go look at James Harden's recent games, do you have his game log?
I got him up.
Go ahead and read some of his recent performances.
So, last night, he was 18-9-7. The game before against Milwaukee, 32-5 rebounds and 9 assists.
And a loss.
In a loss.
And he shot an air ball.
Air ball to finish
for the game winner, he missed.
The game before in a loss to Phoenix, 14-7-9. That's against one of the better teams in the league. Then 29-15-7 before that against the Clip. The Lakers game, 24-7-7.
What's his shooting look like in these games? You're not mentioning that.
Okay.
Because a lot of
he
these
was
have 4 been free
15
throws.
Last night, 9-17, 2-11 against Phoenix. 7-15, good. 7-18, not great against the Lakers. 5-12 against Toronto. Just 17 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists in a 93-88 loss. They scored 88 points with James Harden. 6-14 against Dallas, 5-12 against Cleveland, a loss against Denver. He was just 6-11, but he did have 24 points, 9 rebounds, and 11 assists.
But you notice how they're losing against some of the best teams?
Yeah, the best team.
They lose
Brooklyn,
against-
he had 11 points on 3-17 shooting. The better teams, Denver, 24 points, 9-11. These are losses. Toronto, 17 points, 9-8. 14 against Phoenix, 32 against Milwaukee, 18 against Detroit. Those are all losses. They have now they've lost 6 of their last 10.
Teams who are over 500, the 76ers are 26-20.
They've lost 5 of their last 9.
Yeah, they're 26-22 against teams with winning records. Not great, and my guess is they're worse with James Harden.
Here is last night now. The bench didn't do anything against the Pistons last night. The bench didn't do anything. And asked about the bench, here's what Doc Rivers had to say.
The bench unit struggled compared to their bench.
Well, they didn't struggle. They didn't get a lot of shots, in their defense. I think during that stretch, it was more James, than them. So, it's just a tough night.
Oh. I don't know how long do you think Doc Rivers is for this world making a statement like that? The bench, it was James?
Well, let me tell you something now. Doc could be gone, although they you can't just keep switching out coaches every year. But James could be gone too. And James is not he's not the best player on the team, which is the first time. Well, no, he wasn't better than KD, but he only lasted with KD a year and a half.
Well, did you see Embiid's numbers last night?
No.
37 and 15 on 11 of 19 shooting. He was great.
Joel Embiid is great.
Yeah.
And James Harden is a good player now. He's not.
He did have 7 turnovers.
Superstar. Yeah, that's not great.
That's not right.
But Joel Embiid is clearly the best player on the team. And for the head coach, for Doc to basically just tell the truth is all he did, that's going to be a concern. And I really do wonder what James's long-term, like I said, if Daryl gives James a long-term max dollar deal, one that lasts 4 to 5 years, he'll just be out of the analytics club and 76ers will be stuck because Joel Embiid is not, the Sixers fans are going to turn on James. And it's going to happen fairly quickly. If he doesn't really play well in the postseason, they're already waiting for him. They love Joel Embiid. So whose fault is it? Well, Doc is going to catch some bullets, but Harden is already set up as the bad guy.
Yeah.
He's the bad guy who got out of Houston. He's the bad guy who got out of the Nets. It's going to be really easy for Sixers fans to focus on the guy who has started off great and has played not as well. James Harden is going to be the reason they don't move forward for Sixers fans
and
writers.
We'll catch it worse. Russell Westbrook in L.A. or James Harden in Philadelphia?
Russell's been catching it.
Yeah. James is going to start to catch it now.
I think James is about to take over. If they don't win.
You have to project forward.
Yeah.
Philadelphia fan with James Harden?
Yeah, but Russ is already, his time's coming to an end. Now, next year it starts all over again with his contract. When he opts in, that'll be a whole new thing. But I think Sixers fans, because they are a very volatile group, and they love Embiid. So you can't love two players like that. James, you have to have the yin and the yang. So you're going to have James Harden is going to be the guy that catches all the heat. And his performances against the best teams you saw, they're already lacking. Mm-hmm. Yep. They're already lacking. He doesn't look like he's in great shape. And now Morey is going to have to make a decision contract-wise on James Harden. If he gives him the deal that you think he's going to give him, that is going to stick that team for a long time, and the fans will be against him. At some point, Embiid will probably turn against him. And how will you trade that contract? How will you trade, you know, when you're still on the hook for $130 million guaranteed, $140 million guaranteed, whatever it's going to be? That's going to be a really, really tricky situation. I don't think James is the same guy he was. I just think the years and the toll on his body are starting to kick in. I think James doesn't always take care of himself. I mean, he likes to party and all that stuff. Eventually, it's going to catch up with him. And then we just know that James is an alpha. Like he wants to have all the control and all the power like he had at Houston, but he also doesn't want to have all the spotlight on him when things get like he doesn't want to necessarily have the last shot. Like he's okay if somebody else has it.
Yep.
You can't have it both ways. Like you can't be the boss of a team and then not take all the heat when things don't go well. The two things go together. They're not mutually exclusive. You can't be the team boss. And so James, at some point, I think ultimately likes being team boss. I think that's something that the Rockets spoiled him, and there's no way you can make him team boss at Sixers.
He ain't going to like the criticism that he's going to catch there.
No, because the media and the fans are
going to get all
wail on.
Now, look at this. Last week, Nova Steve called us and was just a jerk because he told us how we're going to beat the Cougs. And, down to San Antonio. We're going to beat the Cougs.
But they did.
Yeah, I know, but so he can shove it.
Okay.
So, guess what happened to Justin Moore? Huh, how's that?
I don't know if I'd say that out loud.
Well.
That was an unfortunate injury.
How do you take that? Nova Steve is calling again about this Kansas game, and Nova Steve is with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What's up, Nova Steve?
Hey, good morning. I just got to say, I had a blast in San Antonio. Respect to the Cougs. I love being with the fans. I love being around them. And the Cougs gave us a good test. That was a steel cage match. All right, WrestleMania this weekend. Everybody's saying they don't like that we couldn't score. Cougs couldn't score. Hey, this is Big East basketball. All right, you got to scratch and claw for every inch. And anybody don't want to watch, go watch The Masked Singer, okay? This is it. Kansas, we took them down in 16, and we're back. And I just can't wait to get down to New Orleans. They call it NOLA. Well, I call it NOVA, because when you play NOVA, it's over.
I don't know why that makes me laugh.
Why does that make you laugh?
I don't know why I enjoy that.
Oh, I like Nova Steve, but he can shove it. I don't care about Nova Steve. I don't give him much of a chance without Justin Moore, do you?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
They're not very deep, dude. They only played six guys.
Houston makes you, that's the part, but I still think you can beat Kansas with six. I think
they don't have six, they have five now.
Well, they've got more. I mean, they're going to go to the bit. They were not a deep team to begin with.
Beside those six, one guy played 3 minutes.
But you can still win, though. They've had lots of rest.
Yeah.
You can still win. The problem is going to be trying to win a second game if they win the first one. It's not an outrageous point spread, first and foremost. And then number two, I think that, Houston makes you look bad. They didn't score well, but Houston makes you look bad. Kansas doesn't defend like that. It's going to be hard to beat a player named Remy Martin.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just beat someone who's named Remy Martin.
Well, or Ajabi.
That's difficult. Or as Dell called him, great value Bruno Mars, is what Remy Martin looks like, he said. And it feels like there's some accuracy to that. A great value. What's great value? Is that Safeway or Kroger? You know, great value is the...
Yeah.
Is the generic brand. You could also call him Kirkland's. Bruno Mars is easier for those of you who like to... You know, Costco it up.
Kirkland's, right. What is, I forget what Randall's is.
I can't remember HEB's either.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't like, no, I like Kansas. And I am torn on this. And we're going to talk to Daniel Ewing about it on the other.
I like North Carolina.
At 9:30.
When you get on a run, I've just seen this for years and years. You've seen it. You saw it with the most notable I've ever seen was Michigan back in the day with Glenn Rice. When Steve Fisher took over that team and they had Ramil Robinson and all that talent, Sean Higgins,
no.
Loy Vaught, I'll never forget that team. And they went on an absolute, you knew they were super talented, and they came in as like, they weren't a high-seeded team, but you, and then they got on a run and you realized, look at all this talent.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with North Carolina.
It is. I told you, I did my sportscast when Bill Frieder left, went to Arizona State.
Well, you were in Arizona?
No, I was doing it, I think I was in Lafayette, maybe.
Yeah, I was in Lafayette. You were in Lafayette?
Yeah, I was in Lafayette. And I said, well, you can count Michigan out. They just lost their head coach, so they're done. Do not put them in your bracket. They go on to win a national championship.
And Glenn Rice goes, I'm one of the hot streaks of all hot streaks.
Yep. All right, 8:45, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. As we mentioned, Daniel Ewing is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Right now, though, we're talking about GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com if you're looking for the best way to sell your car. And listen, it's a car. And I know you might want to give it to your niece, you know, and give her a nice price for it. That's nice. That's really nice, uncle. You're a really nice guy. Your kids, you want to pass it down to your kids? That's fine. But if you're just going to sell your car to the dealership, or you're going to sell it to CarMax, or you're going to sell it to somebody, and you're going to put it in the paper, or can you still put it in the paper? I don't know. On a website, whatever the case may be, why wouldn't you get the most for it? Why wouldn't you want less from a stranger than you could actually get? Because it's just a car. So if you want it to find a nice house, well, it will find a nice home, because John Clay Wolfe is going to put it at auction. Somebody who really wants it is going to buy it. They'll buy it and then either sell it or keep it or whatever the case may be. But here's the deal. Get the most for it. John Clay Wolfe will give you the most for it. He says if he can't beat CarMax's offer, he will send you $100, and he doesn't ever do that because he always beats CarMax's offer. So you're looking for the best way to sell that vehicle, there's one place to go. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:51 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we had Mel Kiper on. That was awesome. And we're going to have Daniel Ewing to talk about the big... I mean, I don't remember a bigger game in the NCAA tournament than we're going to have with Coach K's career on the line, with North Carolina and Duke, which is the greatest rivalry in college basketball, the first time ever meeting in the Final Four. It just can't be any bigger. It just doesn't get any bigger. So Daniel Ewing will talk about Coach K. Again, we had him on before to talk about Coach K. And he will also... talk about what it's like to play in this game. So he has please played in it. So and now, I mean, honestly, it just doesn't. And he was there for when North Carolina beat him down in Coach K's last ever game at Duke. So I mean, I would imagine he didn't leave there with a great feeling about this basketball team. But this basketball team looks like a different team right now.
Mm-hmm.
So. There's a few Deshaun stories coming out.
Mostly positive, I assume?
Oh, yeah, it's all positive. Apparently, NFL owners are none too pleased with the Browns with the guaranteed money.
They're super pissed.
Pissed.
Every GM thinks it's the worst thing that's ever happened because it's you have now taken a player who, frankly, has not played to that level to get that guarantee, and you did it off of potentially bad behavior.
Potentially bad behavior.
And then you gave it all guaranteed, which is not something known. Basically, the bullying job that Mulgetta did to Cleveland, Andrew Berry is not going to be, and Haslam, they're not going to be well-liked around the league. They're already not because, not personally, but, you know, the move that they made was not a great move for football. It made it much, much tougher for a lot of these guys. And it's not just me saying, oh, quarterbacks are going to get more money. It is, you did a deal that you didn't have to do and that probably wasn't in the best interest. I shouldn't say not in the best interest of your team. They're desperate. I mean, they're desperate for quarterback. And they had also thrown some stuff out there, leaked some stuff out there about Baker, and they put themselves in an even worse position. So, I don't know.
And not only are the Browns catching it, and they are still catching it. Read an article yesterday, I think it was in The Athletic, about, you know, Andrea Tomei, Jim Tomei's wife.
Canceled the tickets.
She canceled the tickets, and then there's a battle among Cleveland fans. Hey, this is our family, and this is within our family, and all of this different back and forth. And he is definitely polarizing and has definitely divided the fan base in Cleveland amongst those who are, you know, have a moral compass versus those who just care about football. But even in Atlanta, you know who's catching it? Arthur Blank. Arthur Blank's catching it. Why'd you go after him? Why did you even?
Who's giving it to him? Not Falcons fans. The Falcons fans I saw were all on board. Maybe until it didn't materialize, they were going to get him.
Yes.
Let me tell you, not one of those fans would have complained. Okay. You'd have some.
Let me ask you
but
this.
But it also got the Matt Ryan. They feel like it was a domino effect, and then you only got a third for Matt Ryan.
Right. But the thought was, why did you extend him last offseason? Redo his contract last offseason? Because the most dead money in NFL history is now on the Atlanta Falcons.
Because you had to give yourself cap room.
Well, yeah, but now,
you know
look,
why?
Now look at you this year.
But you know why? Because quarterbacks are making a ton of money, and now when their caps become unfeasible, when their caps are unfeasible, you've got to now give them cash and alter their base just to either get under the cap or be able to sign other people.
No.
That's the whole concern with this.
Well, absolutely. Okay, if you're Carolina, if you're New Orleans and you're Atlanta, and you saw that press conference that the Browns had to go through, are you somewhat relieved that you didn't get them?
No, because that last one day,
I don't think it's less than one day.
Quarterback play
the,
last.
The fan base in Cleveland.
Tell you
is
what.
The, and listen, there are Browns sponsors are now.
That's fine. Check back in with me, and if the Browns win 11 games, go to the playoffs, and get to the AFC Championship game before losing. Let's revisit this. Because guess who's going to jump back in?
Okay.
Brown sponsors. Guess who's going to jump back in? All the fans. And one awkward press conference is not going to equal the amount of wins that he
Okay, are you predicting that with Deshaun's suspension? You're predicting all those wins?
Well, I'm saying Deshaun plays,
but the suspension,
this isn't a one-year deal.
Okay, so no, it's not just a one-year deal, but this is going to linger a while because of the suspension.
Tell me something that lingers.
No, this is going to linger.
Nothing lingers anymore.
Yeah.
Nothing lingers.
No. This is going to linger. This is going to linger. And there was another story that came out. In the Athletic about one of the women, Lauren Baxley.
Oh, we heard her name before.
Yeah, we heard her name before, and so more than that. After the grand jury failed to no-build Deshaun, and then Brazoria County no-billed him as well. More than that, she said, the choice to not indict Watson on our testimonies that were deemed highly credible by prosecutors and the detectives who worked our criminal cases opened a floodgate of abuse, slander, and libel toward us on the internet. The worst of the women haters came out declaring the no-bills proof that we were prostitutes all along. You have to be a special kind of a-hole to be battering these women who came forward.
This is surprising.
You have to be a special. There is a special place in hell for you.
You don't have to be a special anything. You're just an average person on Twitter.
Right.
This isn't a special anything. This is just
normal
Twitter troll.
Are you an average person on Twitter?
No, I don't think I am.
Would you go after and tell these women that they were prostitutes all, and they should die?
I don't think I'm an average person. The troll, no, the average troll who has no accountability, yeah, this is not a big thing for them to come out there and proclaim innocence and go after and make comments. No, it's, I mean, frankly, you knew it would happen. I knew it would happen. You're not surprised by it, right?
No,
you're not.
I'm always a little bit surprised.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yes.
Because I'm not surprised by it at all. I'm glad that you at least have some of that still where you think better of humanity. Because what I've seen from Twitter, I don't.
Listen, the reason is, do you know anyone that does this?
Probably. I wouldn't know it unless... Okay. You've seen people on Twitch, some of the stuff people have said there, right?
Yeah.
It's just regular people, right? If you saw them in person, they probably wouldn't be that bad. But when you're anonymous, you don't use your avatar, you don't use your picture, you don't have your name on there, you can really say whatever horrible thing. And I think it's a way that a lot of people, the frustrations they have in their lives or the anger they're feeling about whatever it is, this is a way to anonymously unleash it. And it becomes
something. This is their way to be Will Smith?
No, I wouldn't say Will Smith. Will Smith was out there with his name in full TV. No, this is the exact opposite. This is with no repercussions. This is what I feel like you would clean up the world a lot with two things. Take away likes from Twitter. So there's no amplification. That takes away a lot of the virtue signaling by people and a lot of the nastiness where you're trying to just be snarky and get people. You jump on trending topics and you're an a-hole. You just jump on the bully train, you know, to jump on someone. Take away likes, okay, so where the amplification doesn't matter anymore and work. Then charge somebody $5 a month to have a Twitter account. You're gonna pay $5 a month to be a troll. Here's what you're not gonna do:
set up multiple burner. For the highfalutin people like you.
No, you're gonna set up.
Are you a man of the people?
No, I'm not. I don't care.
You're not a man of the people.
You don't want to know I'm a man of the people because I want people to stop being ass, you know, and then also stop being holes.
Oh wow.
Okay, I broke it up. It's legal. I want, because if you made people pay, you know what they're not doing? Creating 10 burner accounts for $50 a month. You're not doing that.
That's true. That is true.
And then be more strict about your ability to, you know, and here's the other thing. If people, and they have this in England, if you had to use your real, or do this, your real name has to be, you have to sign up with your real name, not a random email address, your real name and real IP login. They have VPNs to get around it. And then if you do something, now this is a slippery slope, and I understand the argument made against it, because then you could say, you know, there's no free speech. And I get that. It's not perfect. And just remember here, I'm talking about the most horrific of the horrific. If you behave in a certain way, you get your stuff. You're shut down. You're not able to get back on social media. People would not be as... They would not do that. The second thing could be when you threaten people, it's easier to start charging them.
Yeah. Well, I think you can now. It's 901 ESPN 97.5.
It's hard.
Yeah. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776.
I want people taped. Daniel, but I've said that before.
Daniel Ewing going to join us. You know what I want? I want a Chastain Ford. I want my electric F-150. Yeah.
When are you getting it?
I'm going to get it. I don't know when, but I want to get it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in my life, and it could happen to you in your life. It's not as easy because those are just coming out in the market, but what is easy right now is for you to order your car or truck, Ford, brand new, customized exactly how you want it. You will not pay. When you order, you will not pay MSRP. And on select vehicles right now, F-150s, it's out there. Nothing down. No payments for 90 days, 0% financing for 60 months. This is just ridiculous. People, I'm telling you, if you're looking for the best way to buy a car, go to the people that have integrity, that are the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston, people that are pledged not to add on to your vehicle, not to give you stuff that you don't want, just to jack up the price, and going to give you the best deal they possibly can, going to work that deal as hard as they possibly can to get you in the payments where you have to be. And I also got pre-owned vehicles on the lot. 90% of them are certified, and you are going to benefit. If you need a car right away, you got that as well. So if you're looking for that way to order or to get that vehicle now, it's all at Chastain Ford, ChastainFord.com, or Get to the showroom. Go see the nice people. They're the nicest people you'll meet in the car industry. I promise you that. It's all at 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.